All right, it's good to be back tonight in the house of the Lord, and the Lord's given us another good day, and I hope that you are also enjoying the blessings of the Lord and looking for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes, if we can sort of get a overall view or scope of the second coming, and this is what this little chart does, and gives us an idea of the events that's going to take place. The event that we preached about last night, which will be first in order, is the rapture of the saints. Then that will be followed by 7 years tribulation period here on the earth. And while that the tribulation period is going on here in the earth, in heaven, there will be the judgment seat of Christ and the marriage of the Lamb during that 7 years. So you might sort of keep that in mind or in view. And tonight, the Lord willing, the Lord being my helper, I'm going to preach on the subject of the tribulation, of the tribulation period. I told Brother Titus, I said, last night I put four messages into one, and tonight I'm going to put five, the Lord willing, into one. If you'll turn with me to the book of Daniel, and there in chapter 9 of the book of Daniel, I began this series on the 11th of January of 98, and I'm not through at church, and I don't think I'll get done this year the way it looks. But in Daniel chapter 9, if you'll go with me there, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 24 and read the remainder of that chapter. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 24. It says this: 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city, to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks, the streets shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. In the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Daniel here is speaking of his time, but he is also speaking of future events that is going to yet take place, which is the tribulation period. There are those that are confused, and many and some even believe that we are living in the tribulation period now. But I believe that when you begin to read in the Word of God, especially what is said here by the prophets, and especially in the book of Revelation, that you can come to the swift conclusion that we are not living in the tribulation period. Now, there are a lot of things today that we see that, as far as we're concerned, are trials and tribulation, but nothing compared with what the Word of God says concerning that dreadful and awful time. We could be very near this terrible time, because all that takes place in God's plan or order of events is that The Lord Jesus Christ returns for His people in the air, and as we are caught up in the moment and the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, and as we have gone from this earth, then God will begin the time here on earth that is referred to as the tribulation period. Now that is 7 years. We want to mostly deal with that 7 year period of time here on earth. I try to keep in mind that while this tribulation is going on here on earth, in heaven there is the judgment seat of Christ and the marriage of the Lamb. And that will be taking place during that 7 years. But we're mainly putting our focus upon the 7 year tribulation period here on earth. Now the time, the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is the time that is going to begin, and when we are caught up, then will begin the tribulation. The place, or it will involve all of the known world, but the place that is the center or the focus of much that happens is Palestine or Jerusalem. But the whole world will be affected. The Bible speaks of the Sea of Nations, primarily dealing in the tribulation period with Daniel's people and the city of Jerusalem. There are many terms that are given to us concerning the tribulation time. There are some things that I wanted to get right into tonight, and the first one that I want us to get into is the person of the tribulation. Now we see here, and I want to again notice verse 25 and verse 26 here in Daniel chapter 9. Now notice what it says. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem until the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolation are determined. There are two persons or princes that are mentioned here in verse 25 and verse 26. These are two distinct but two very different persons. The first person that is mentioned now is in verse 25, and if you'll notice in that verse it says, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince. Now the Messiah the Prince is known here or referenced to the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the things that we see concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is that He already had come to the city of Jerusalem, but that was during His earthly ministry, and His triumphant entry into Jerusalem is described in the Gospel of Luke, and there in the 19th chapter, and in verse 30 through 40. Now I want you to notice in that passage of Scripture, what happened after that He made this entry here into the city of Jerusalem. Luke chapter 19, and there in verse 30 down through verse 40. Now notice here in these verses of Scripture, saying, go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat, loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do you loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, why loose ye the colt? And they said, the Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jerusalem, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. Now I realize, and I know that this is a literal event that took place, and Jesus Christ came. He rode an ass colt down the Mount of Olives, and he entered Jerusalem. A multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God, but the Jews as a nation rejected the Messiah, the Prince. They rejected him. I realize and know that when he wept over the city, he not only saw the literal destruction of the city, but I believe that Jesus also saw what that was going to take place, even in the future and at a latter time. Now, here we find that, so first of all, in verse 25 is mentioned the Messiah, the Prince. But now let's look at verse 26 and notice here. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. Now notice, and the people of the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. Now many believe in prophecy and believe in a historical fulfillment, and they believe that this has already taken place. We know that definitely the Lord Jesus Christ, as he made his triumphant entry into the city of Jerusalem, that this took place. But the Prince that shall come, this has reference here in verse 26 to the Antichrist. And notice, and the people of the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and at the end of the war desolations are determined. Now, the irony of the whole thing is this. The Lord Jesus Christ came here to the Jews, and they did not receive him. They did not acknowledge him as the Messiah, the Prince. They did not acknowledge him as the Savior. But the Prince that shall come, he will be received by the Jews. They will receive him. He will come and say that he is the Christ, or he is the Savior, and they will receive him. Jesus even mentioned this. Notice this verse in John chapter 5. And I want you to see this in John chapter 5, and there, it won't take long to turn there. John chapter 5, and in verse 43, here's what Jesus said. He said, I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. Now look at the prophecy he's giving. If another shall come in his own name, him will ye receive. And who he had reference here was to the coming of the Antichrist, or the Prince that shall come. And the amazing thing is that they are going to receive him. I realize, and I'll go into this a little bit later on, but the stage is being set. The Antichrist will not have any trouble getting people to follow him, because the general consensus today is even many so-called Christian people are following that which is unrighteous. They're even leaning toward that which is even immoral. In the day in which that we live, the Antichrist won't have any problem. The stage is being set right now. When have you ever known a period of time? We went to the Air Force Museum today, and I visited Air Force One, and I called to mind all of those presidents that I had seen make speeches and ride in those airplanes, every one of them from FDR on up to the to somebody that's in the White House now, all the way up till that very time, and I thought of what a drastic change. What a drastic change has come, even not only in the men, but in our country. In our country, and to how willing that people are willing to just watch sin, see sin, not say anything about sin, to sear their conscience. They feel is being set. The road is set for the Antichrist to come. He won't have any problem at all. Now, Daniel, go back to Daniel. Daniel has described him as the little horn, that is the Antichrist. He is the one that is going to be received by the Jews. The stage is being set for that now. Go back to Daniel chapter 7. You're in chapter 9. And look with me over in chapter 7 of Daniel. And there in verse 7 and verse 8, he said this: "After this, I saw the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Verse 8, I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were 3 of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things." Daniel here is describing the Antichrist as the little horn. Now go to verse 23 and notice with me here in this 7th chapter of Daniel, and it says this: "Thus he said," and in other words, when this explained this, "thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue the three kings. And he shall speak great words," now notice, "against the Most High." Did you know, and now let me just put this in. People today are not afraid to speak against God. They are not afraid to speak out against the great God of heaven. They laugh and they mock and they scorn. The Antichrist here though says, and he says in this, and what he says, "speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a times and time and the dividing of time. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion." So we see that we know that we're getting ready for the time of the Antichrist and the time of the tribulation period. If that's all we knew about Bible prophecy, it'd be terrible. But we know all the way from the beginning, all the way over here to the eternal ages. And we know of the events and what is going to take place. But this 7 years tribulation and the Antichrist is part of that. Now, of course, when I read through here what I saw in Daniel 7 here, I saw Rome. I saw the common market. I saw the Antichrist. I saw the tribulation. I saw the tribulation saints. And if you go on and look in verse 27, I see the millennium. "And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of that kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him." We see it all the way through. We see it from the Roman Empire to the common market, and then to the Antichrist, the tribulation saints, and all the way now to the millennium reign of the Lord Jesus Christ and an everlasting kingdom. Daniel puts the whole thing in here. So we find that what will happen is the Antichrist will rule over 10 kingdoms in the land area of the old Roman Empire. Now go back to Daniel chapter 9 And when we're talking about this person of the Antichrist, and look with me also now, what is going to happen there in verse 27. Now look at this. And he, that is this prince that shall come, that is the Antichrist, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. In other words, what is going to happen here is, he is going to make a covenant or an agreement with Israel. They are going to think that he is probably the answer to all of their problems. And it will result in a one economic system, one world government, one world religious system. I mean, it's going to bring, and he's going to be, they think, the answer to all of his problems. The Jews at this present time would like to replace the Mosque of Omar with a Jewish temple. The stage is being set at this present time for such an event. It all started back when God, in his design, allowed Israel to become a state in May the 14th of 1948. Since that time, the desire of Jews is a homeland with one form of worship. That's what they want, a homeland with one form of worship. Many years, it was the desire of every Jew that you would ever meet to return to Israel. They'd say and have that word, see you next year in Jerusalem. See you next year in Jerusalem. That was their desire. Now that there is much unrest, the ideal state of Israel that they all thought now has much trouble. Inflation is at an all-time high, and some Jews are leaving Israel, and many of the young are continually protesting against the things that are even in their own country. Many, not all, the Jewish people, though, will accept the person of the Antichrist. And they'll make an agreement with him. And he will seemingly be the one that will be the answer to all of their problems. And they will even be permitted, to build a temple. If you'll notice in Daniel chapter 12, and there in verse 11 of Daniel 12, it says this. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away. You'll notice it says, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days, approximately 3.5 years. Because we know that in the tribulation period is a period time of 7 years, and the first 7 years of that tribulation period, God is going to pour out wrath and do some tremendous things. But they will feel like and know and think that they have a leader and they have someone that will answer all their problems in the person of the Antichrist. Go with me now to Matthew 24. Let's look at some New Testament scripture. In Matthew chapter 24, and there in verse 15 down through verse 27. Matthew 24 and verse 15 down through 27. Now look, Jesus said this himself. When you therefore shall see, and the same thing that Daniel prophesied about in Daniel 9:27. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Now who is that going to be? That is going to be none other than the Antichrist. He has permitted them during this time of tribulation, during this first 3.5 years, he has permitted them to have a form of worship, to return to the temple type of worship, and to have a form of worship, and that's exactly what they wanted. But now you'll notice in this, look what it says. Stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Now look at these following verses. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of the house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day, for then shall be great tribulation. Now, the last 3.5 years of the 7 years tribulation period is going to be a time of great tribulation. And it says, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Now look at verse 22. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But notice this real closely. But for the elect's sake, these days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. People say today, and they say, well, about false cults and false religions, they say, well, we see them do things. We see them do what they manifest or say they can do. And I don't deny that. But you gotta try the spirits by the Word of God. You gotta see whether or not the spirit is of God, or whether that it is a false spirit, or whether it's an evil spirit. And some have always said, well, I would believe it if they ever get to where they can raise somebody from the dead. Let me tell you, I probably won't get to it, but there's coming a time that they're going to have power to make images speak. And I realize and I know the only thing that I'll believe if it's thus saith the Word of God, if it's according to the Scriptures and according to the Word of God. He said, behold, I have told you before, wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chamber, and believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. But now look with me right quickly in Revelation chapter 11. In the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation, and notice with me there in verse 1 and in verse 2 of Revelation chapter 11, and notice what it says. And all of this is backing up what the prophet Daniel said in Daniel chapter 9. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, rise, measure the temple of God and the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread under foot 42 months. In other words, the idea or the thought is here again of that period of 3.5 years. So we see this is going to be a time, it's really going to be a time of Jacob's trouble. The tribulation period is a time of the trouble with the Jews. It's a time of Jacob's trouble. The Antichrist, will they feel that he has the answer to all the problems? But he is going to, in the middle of the week, as we have already read, look back in the 27th verse there again of Daniel 9. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. In other words, after 3.5 years, the Antichrist breaks the covenant during the time of the tribulation. This is exactly what Jesus said in Matthew 24:15. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. And so we find that sacrifices to Jehovah God will no longer be allowed, and the person of the tribulation will set himself up as God. Then's when that the Jews will fully understand and begin to recognize that they've recognized the wrong person. That they made a covenant with the wrong person. And then's when they are going to realize what they have really done in a sense. Now, I believe that the person of the tribulation will set himself up as God. 2 Thessalonians talks about this in the second chapter of 2 Thessalonians. And there in verse 4 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Listen to what the Word of God says. It says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. And the man of sin shall be revealed, the son of perdition, said, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, where does he come from? How do we see all of this? Now, this, we're talking about the person. Who is the person of the tribulation? Who is the person that is going to be permitted to be domineering during the time of the tribulation period? It is the Antichrist. The Antichrist. If you'll go over to Revelation chapter 13, I want to quickly give you some verses there, and then we'll move on to the second point. But there in Revelation chapter 13, we see the appearance. Now, I realize there's a lot of speculation and all as to who the Antichrist is. I don't have no idea who he is. I know that he's going to be revealed. He could already be on the scene today. I don't have no qualms about that. He could be. I believe that we could be very near to the time of the tribulation, because all it takes is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ for his saints. Then we immediately, the tribulation begins. But there in Revelation chapter 13, the Antichrist is seen, of course, in the first part of this chapter, in verse 1 through 10. And notice how that it brings all this together, what Daniel said, what Jesus said in Matthew, and there in these verses it said, and I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and the mouth is the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power, that's Satan, and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. There it is, like Jesus Christ, he's going through, he was crucified, resurrected. And of course, here's what this is. He's a counterfeiter, he's a deceiver, and was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power to the beast, that's Satan, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given, now notice, and I underline this all the time, and it was given to him. He was allowed. Of himself, he had no power. He was allowed. He was permitted. Just like Satan is the prince of the power of the day under the permissiveness of God. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Now notice, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity, and he that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Now, I say this right early concerning the person of the tribulation. There is a satanic trinity. We believe in a trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There is a satanic trinity. There is the anti-God. There's the anti-Christ. And there is the anti-Spirit. And all three of these are manifested here in this 13th chapter of Revelation. And they are fully counterfeiters. They're counterfeiters of that which is real. Now what you see in the 11th through the 18th verses of Revelation 13 is the image of the beast. And of course, notice in 11 through 18, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb, and spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. Now here is the work of the anti-spirit. Now see, you see the repetition. Here's God, and here's the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit causes people to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, and then they go for the Lord Jesus Christ to God. And here is the anti-spirit, the anti-Christ, and the anti-God. And they're all mentioned here. And notice, and he goeth and he doeth great wonders, and maketh fire. Now notice, fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles. Now look at that word, miracles. Which he hath power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they shall make an image to the beast which hath the wound by the sword and did live. In other words, that's the death, burial, and resurrection. See, that he tried to portray. And he had power to give life under the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should boast, speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he had the mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, that is the number of man, and his number is 666. Now, I brought all that real quick, but that's the person. The person of the tribulation is the Antichrist. Now, think with me just a moment. What is happening today that is getting people in tune for such a time? You know, I can almost go to somewhere and buy something and they don't want my cash. They want plastic. And usually it's the scan. Everything today. And I go in, I get so aggravated. I go into stores and the computer goes down and I can't even pay for my item and get out of there. They don't know the price. They don't even know the price. And it's all set up. I mean, it's just set up, and I believe that we are running the days now. But I don't have time to dwell on those things. That's the person. Now, the second thing I want us to notice is the persecution. The persecution during the persecution during the tribulation period. You got to understand that the predominant person of the tribulation period is the Antichrist. He is the one that is being permitted here. To have such tremendous power, he's going to be he's going to have charisma. He's going to be a smooth talker. I can't understand. Well, let me get off that. I want to get on preaching tribulation, but I can't understand how some people can talk themselves out of anything. All right, persecution during the tribulation, verse 27. Here it is. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Now look. And in the midst of the week, Daniel 9:27, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease for the overspreading of abominations. He shall make it desolate. In other words, Israel has received or accepted the Antichrist as a nation. They made a covenant with him, and he pretends to be the Messiah, the Christ, their Savior, their deliverer. He's the one that's going to deliver them. He's deceived them. And at the middle of the week, after 3.5 years, he begins to reveal his true character. Jesus even spoke of it. And we read of it there in Matthew 24:21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world, and this time, nor ever shall be. Look in the remainder part of that verse 27. And said, here, and the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation. He causes the Jewish worship to cease. He, from the time of the daily sacrifice, Daniel said, shall be taken away, and the abomination that makes desolate, this is Daniel 12:11, set up, there shall be 1,290 days. And what he installs an image. He installs an image of the beast in the temple. And if you don't worship that image, then it means that you die. It's going to be a hard time. Israel will begin to recognize their plight. The Antichrist then will declare war on the Jews. In the 7th chapter of Daniel, and there in verse 25 of that 7th chapter, it gives it. And he shall speak great words against the Most High. Now notice, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a times and time and the dividing of times. The same thing I read to you earlier in Revelation 13, 5 through 7. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. He's even blaspheming God and all that are in heaven. But what about those that are on earth? And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. You're talking about a time of tribulation. What will take place then? The Jews will begin to flee. They will begin to flee to the mountains or to the wilderness. I find it quite interesting. Now keep in mind, I hope you're keeping in mind all that we've read in Daniel, and listen to Revelation chapter 12. And there in the 12th chapter of Revelation, and in verse 13 through verse 17 of Revelation chapter 12, it says, "And when the dragon saw that he was cast under the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child." Now that's Israel. That's the Jews. This is going to be known as the time of Jacob's trouble. Now look. "And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and time and half a time, from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." This is going to be a terrible time. Now, let me just sort of give you this right quickly. You will not be able to live or allowed to live if you don't worship the image. What even makes it even worse, and we know the response in Daniel with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and we know how God worked with them. But what will even make it worse, you won't even be able to buy and to sell without the mark of the beast. Unless you have that mark, 666. And I don't know how that's going to be, but you know, it talks about the hand and the forehead and all. But I believe it's going to be the sign that's going to be scanned. I believe it'll be the very thing that'll be scanned. And you think of such a terrible time and an awful time when there is food and when there is supplies, but you can't even buy it. Because that you will not worship the beast. You will not fall down to the Antichrist or to the anti-God. They'll flee to the mountains. Not only did John talk about it here in Revelation 12, 13 through 17, but this is exactly what Jesus was talking about there in that 24th chapter. In the 16th verse, he said, "Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountain." And he goes on down through that 24th verse talking about this. So what is going to happen is the Antichrist will tread Jerusalem underfoot. We see very clearly from Revelation 11, 1 through 2, that it will be 3.5 years. It will be that great tribulation. He will cause all nations to hate and to persecute the Jews. He's not going to have to work too hard. Because almost all of them do now. And I shiver every time that our country in some way, either by our leaders or somebody else, causes us to go against the nation of Israel. And we're in a position now to sell out. I mean, I know we're in a position now to go against Israel. I know that. This could be what's going on right now. It could be what's happening right now on our news and right before our very eyes. I'm not talking about the tribulation, but I'm talking about selling out against the people of Israel. So the Antichrist will cause all the nations to hate and persecute the Jews. This has always been Satan's program. Satan's program hates God's people. It will be a time of Jacob's trouble. Jeremiah said about it. Here's what he said in Jeremiah 30, verse 7. I have it before me. He said, "Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is given the time of Jacob's trouble." But now look at the latter part of that verse. It says, "But he shall be saved out of it." In other words, there is a deliverer, and God is the deliverer. And Daniel said of this time, and said, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of the people, and there shall be a time of trouble which as never was since there was a nation." This is Daniel 12:1. "Even to that same time, and at that time thy people shall be delivered. Every one of them shall be found written in the book." Daniel 12 and verse 1. Now God will allow this persecution upon the nation of Israel. Because if you'll read now the rest of verse 27 here in Daniel 9. "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and the overspreading of abomination. He shall make it desolate even of the consummation." And here it is. "And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate." But what Jesus said there of himself, and he said himself in Matthew 24:13, "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." And what he was talking about in the context here was in the context of the tribulation period, and there in that great tribulation and the middle. God shall allow that which has been determined to be poured upon Israel. The end of their persecution will come. Revelation speaks and of this. And there in the 11th chapter, I made reference to the 13th chapter when I was reading about the Antichrist, the Antichrist, and the Anti-Spirit. But here in the 11th chapter of Revelation, there is the recording of the two witnesses. And this will give you some idea of what is going to take place during this terrible time in Revelation 11:1, and what's going to happen. He said, "And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out and measure it not, for it is given to Gentiles, and the holy city shall be trod underfoot 42 months. Now we've covered that. Now he said, "And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days. Now figure that up. Clothed in sackcloth, these are the two olive trees and two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed." Now look. "These have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will, and when they shall have finished their testimony." Now look, "the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of that great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified," at Jerusalem, "and they of the people and kindreds of tongues of nations shall see their dead bodies 3.5 days, and shall suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves, and they shall dwell upon the earth, and shall rejoice over them, and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelled on the earth. And after 3.5 days, the Spirit of life from God entered in them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying to them, come up hither. And they ascended into heaven with a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same earth, there was a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, and the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted, and gave glory to the God of heaven. Tremendous thing that's going to transpire and happen here in this time. Now, I don't have time. This is a sermon in itself, but who are the two witnesses? Now, personally, I've not talked to Brother Randy about this, but I believe that it's Enoch and Elijah. Some believe it's Moses and Elijah, and that's no problem. Either one, the Lord knows, and I personally believe this, and I could go into this, but I'm not going to. Because of the brevity of time, I'm going to turn four pages on that. As far as the great tribulation. So God shall allow that which was determined. It is going to be a terrible time here on this earth. You know, as I go through this, I just stop and say, thank you, Lord, I'm not going to be here. Thank you, Lord, I'm going to be gone. We're going to be gone. We're not going to be here. But now, what's the purpose? What's the purpose of this? What's the purpose of this tribulation? Go back to Daniel 9, and let me give you this right quickly. Daniel 9, and the purpose of the tribulation is found here in verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Now, the people is the Jews, and the city is Jerusalem. And now look at this purpose. And here, I'm going to take it one at a time. To finish the transgression. That's the first purpose. In other words, it is because of the rejection of the Messiah, the Prince. The Jews rejected Jesus Christ. John 1 said, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. What did they do? They crucified him. The Lord then scattered the Jews among the Gentile nations. They will finally realize their sin. They'll begin to recognize they're in trouble when they find out who the Antichrist is. But that's not really the answer to the thing. They will finally realize, he said, to finish the transgression. They will finally realize their sin when the Lord of Lords and Kings of Kings shall reveal himself. That's in Revelation chapter 1 and in verse 7. And this is a very interesting verse. Well, look what it says. It says this in Revelation 1:7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. But now look at this next statement. Notice how this is brought here. And they also which pierced him. That's the Jews. And then he says, and he makes a distinction. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Daniel said that the purpose of the tribulation is to finish the transgression. In that day, and the Lord willing, I'll be preaching on that Sunday morning, the Lord willing. But in that day, in that time and that day, the wailing wall will be small in comparison to what's going to take place then. The Jews today go to the wailing wall, and they go there and they wail and they wail and they wail, and they're looking for their Messiah to come. And so what he says here, the purpose of the tribulation is to finish the transgression, and look at the rest of that verse 24 in Daniel 9, and to make an end of sins. This shall be possible for the Jews when he returns in power and great glory. Look at verse, go with me to the book of Romans. And I want you to see there in Romans chapter 11, and notice how this all ties in here in Romans 11 and in verse 25 through verse 27. See, God is not through with the nation of Israel. God is not through with the Jews. But look in Romans chapter 11, and there in verse 25 through verse 27, and notice what it says. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits. Now notice, that blindness, now look at this real close. Blindness in part is happened to Israel until. Now notice, and now Israel is blinded now, but only in part, and it's until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. I realize that what he's saying here and what Daniel is prophesying of this, he said, not only to finish the transgression, but to make an end of sins. It is the time that God is dealing with the nation of Israel, with the Jews. But then look at the other purpose here in this 24th verse. And to make reconciliation for iniquity. Christ made reconciliation for the sins of his people, the Gentiles and the Jews, and he did this at Calvary. It says in the Word of God that they, by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, crucified the Lord of glory. They crucified their Messiah. They crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not till all of the tribulation has come, at the end of the tribulation, that they're going to be able, it's going to be revealed to them what they've done. We're the ones. Peter told them, didn't he? In chapter 2 of the book of Acts, when he stood up and he preached that great message, they will receive him as Messiah at the visible return. For in Matthew 24:30 it says, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. But go to Zechariah chapter 12. Zechariah chapter 12 in the Old Testament, and notice what is brought out here in Zechariah chapter 12. And there in verse 10 through 11 of the 12th chapter, and it says this, and I will pour upon the house of David, upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and of supplication. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one that mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. In that day shall there be a great mourning in Jerusalem, as the mourning of Hadarimnon in the valley of Megiddo. In other words, he's saying here that they will receive him as Messiah at their visible return. God has this design and this is purpose of the tribulation coming upon the nation of Israel, the Jews. But then notice the rest of that 24th verse. Now each one of them is a sermon itself. It says in this, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation. And notice, and then he says, and to bring in everlasting righteousness. Now this is the purpose of the tribulation. The 70 weeks must be finished before the everlasting righteousness will be brought in. At the end of the tribulation, the Lord will set up his millennium reign. It will be his righteous rule and reign. But then look at the rest of this. Now, I know there's a lot that happens in there. There's Armageddon. There's the battles. There's the judgment of the Gentile nations. I mean, there's a lot that all comes in here in this latter part, right at the end of this 7 years period. There's a lot that takes place here before the coming of this millennium. But look at the rest of verse 24. And to seal up the vision and prophecy. The prophets foretold of the 70 weeks and the nation of Israel will not need any more vision or prophecy. Here is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it says in the latter part of that 24th verse, and to anoint the most holy. And that is, of course, we're speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ezekiel spoke of this. Well, Zechariah spoke of it. And I have these verses here before me, and I'll do it for brevity of time. Zechariah 6:12, and it says this, and speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and shall build the temple of the Lord. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. That's the Lord in the millennium temple. But look at Ezekiel 43, 7 and 9. He said unto me, Son of man, the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever, and my holy name shall the house of Israel no more defile, neither they nor their kings by their whoredoms, nor by the carcasses of their kings in their high places. Now let them put away their whoredom and carcasses of their kings far from me, and I will dwell in the midst of them forever. I realize and I know the purpose of this tribulation is to fulfill and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now there's so much on the tribulation that I just don't have time to mention or to bring in. But there's a lot in this. God will, according to his program and plan, bring to pass this great event. All things are being fulfilled at their proper time. We have to understand that he uses Satan and men as channels for the execution of his will. It'll be the time of God's wrath. I never even got to touch that. You can go into the 14th and 16th chapter of Revelation and you can see the beginning of the pouring out of God's wrath. You can see the destruction. You can see all that will take place. Isaiah the prophet said, For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity, and the earth shall also disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. The Antichrist will be a reality as the Antichrists are at this present time. But I'd like to just quickly tonight close like this. I'm thankful. I'm not looking for the Antichrist. I'm looking for the Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming. He's taking us out. I believe that to some degree we are already becoming homesick. I know we're weary and we're becoming homesick to be with the Lord. The only thing left for us is to live for the Lord while we have the privilege and the opportunity, and with anxiety to long to look for his coming. And folks, he's coming tonight. And only those that have been saved by the grace of God are anxious. And only those that have been come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior really, really look forward to the day and to the time. And just think, it could even be tonight. It could even be. So may God help us to. I know that I've said a lot and probably, maybe I've tried to cover too much and material, but maybe you can get the tape and go back and research and read yourself and do what you can with it. I couldn't begin tonight to describe. The first 3.5 years is going to not be a good time. But the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period is going to be a terrible time. If we think that we live in a bad time today, it's nothing compared. And it is a very perilous time. It's a wicked time. But we have a God that's on the throne. We have a Savior. We have a hope. We have a living hope. Folks, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Now, my treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And I even feel sometimes that the angels are beckoning me from heaven's open door. And I don't feel at home in this world anymore. And so God's doing all of this. Cause us to be homesick for heaven. And I praise his wonderful name for all that he's doing and all that he has done, all he's doing, and yet we know the future's bright. We have a glorious and a bright future. If you're not saved, I would encourage you to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He's the only hope, is Jesus Christ.